Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. You're going to hear about the amazing, life-changing power of the gospel today. Prepare to be encouraged.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, there's a reason that Scripture continually tells us to give thanks to God and to remember what He has done. It builds us up. It strengthens us. And as we continue to face moral decay in our society, and as we continue to look for people to inspire and lead by example and see so many failures and so many scandals, we need to be reminded of the power of the gospel. We need to be reminded of who Jesus is and what He is doing in the world today. And maybe as you're listening, you're going to find yourself to be the next person wonderfully touched and changed by God. Or maybe as you hear these stories and testimonies today, your heart will be encouraged to believe afresh for a family member or friend, a loved one. So be encouraged. We may take some calls. The number is always 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. I'm joined in the studio today by Amy Lambert. She has a ministry, Amy Lambert Global Ministries. She's been doing evangelistic work for years now, reaching out to the worst of sinners, young people lost on the streets, away from God, out of church. Amy, it's great to have you on the broadcast today.
Thank you, Dr. Brown. It's wonderful to be on today.
Now, Amy, we sat, I guess it was last year, a mutual friend, the local pastor, said, we've got to meet Amy, find out what she's doing, and see if we could help out. Before we hear your testimony, because you were not always living for God, full of life, vibrant, holy, tell us a little bit about the kind of people that you're reaching today with the gospel.
Well, I definitely feel like we are called to reach, or I'm particularly called to reach, the untouchables of society, those that are trapped in drug addiction, prostitution, gang life, those that are on the streets. And really, my heart has been to reach those that would never feel comfortable walking in the four walls of the church.
And how old are you now, Amy?
I'm 29 years old.
29. Okay. Give me a picture. Paint a picture of some of the people that you're reaching out to, either what they look like or some of their stories.
Well, definitely, if you come to one of our events, I recently had an event up in Virginia, and Reinhard Bonnke's son, Fred, his name is Fred Bonnke, him and his wife came, and they basically said to me, you know, you definitely reach your target audience, because these people are, you know, covered in tattoos, a lot of them are gothic looking, you could tell that they definitely live a rough type of lifestyle, but those are the people that God has put on my heart to reach out to.
And are you just reaching out to them and they're coming to meetings, or are you seeing things happen?
We are definitely seeing things happen. We do, you know, evangelistic outreaches, but also going out on the streets every Friday night and going to those environments where the people actually live. And a lot of the places that we go to, there's a lot of prostitution, male and female prostitutes, drug addicts, you know, we're ministering to the pimps, we're ministering to the drug pushers as well. So we go to where they are, but we also invite them to come to larger outreaches as well.
And are you seeing maybe 6 months, a year, 2 years later, going back to some of these areas and seeing some of these young people solidly discipled, following Jesus?
Yeah, I was so encouraged. A couple of weeks ago, we did one of our events up in Virginia. And it was so cool because after I did the altar call, invited people to receive Christ, I actually went down into the prayer tent where we invite people over to fill out the decision cards and that type of thing. And one of the cool stories that we saw this past couple of weeks ago is there was a lady there.
Tell you what, I'm going to jump in.
Okay.
And we're going to find out about this lady that was there and we come back. But then I want to focus on the lady I'm talking to, Amy Lambert, to hear her story. Friends, don't count anybody out. Don't think they're too far away from God. Don't think they're too far gone. Don't think they're too addicted. If God can save Amy and me, He can save anybody. Change the world. Give up.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Let me tell you something tonight. We do not serve a God who is dead, but we serve a God who is alive. Jesus Christ, who is the resurrection and the life. The Bible says if any man will be in Christ, he is a new creation, that the old has passed and the new has come.
That was the voice you heard of Amy Lambert, my guest in the studio here, preaching, reaching out to the lost. Her website, amylambertglobal.org. We're about to hear some of her testimony. We want to encourage you today on The Line of Fire. Build your faith and strengthen your own resolve to follow Jesus and make him known to the worst of sinners. Amy, before we get into your own story, because you were not always preaching the gospel, you were mentioning you were doing an outreach event. You were talking to some of the people that had responded to the altar call, and there was a lady. That's where we had to cut you off.
Yeah, this lady, when we went and talked to her, they said she was so excited. She wanted to come over and speak to me. So I had a chance to speak with her. She had gotten saved at one of our outreaches up in West Virginia like 2 or 3 years ago and was still going strong, walking with the Lord. And at that event, both of her daughters came with her and they accepted Christ. And it was so powerful because at our events, we do these large, you know, concert outreaches. But we took this lady over with her two daughters, and I had the opportunity to baptize both of them on the spot. So it was
really,
just a really cool story.
Wonderful. All right, Amy, let's go through your life. Where did you grow up?
A really small town called Richlands, Virginia.
All right. Yeah, you don't sound like you're a New Yorker like
definitely
me. Okay.
Not.
So you grew up in Virginia. What kind of home did you grow up in?
I actually grew up in a Christian home. My father was a pastor. So
really?
I grew up hearing the gospel.
All right. Well, what happened? How did you get off track?
When I was probably about 10 years old, my parents split up and my dad, you know, stepped out of that position of pastoring. And for me, that just became like a life shattering moment for me and felt like not only was he my dad, but he was my pastor. And so everything fell apart. I became very angry at God, saying, "Why did you let this happen?" And made some pretty foolish decisions at a very young age.
10 years old. All right. There are a lot of people listening that have gone through divorce or kids from broken homes. I was raised in a home where my mom and dad were wonderfully happily married. My wife, Nancy, came from a home where her mom was married 4 times. Talk a little bit more about the trauma of divorce and how your world shatters at the age of 10.
I guess as a child, you know, when you see your mother and father, that represents stability in your life, and especially coming from a Christian home, you know, and when that happened, I'll never forget the day my father took me out the road. He said, "I want to take you for a walk, and I've got some things I need to share with you." And when he told me that, I just felt like everything around me was spinning. I could not believe what I was hearing. And as the days and the months began to progress and to see it actually transpire in front of me, it was just... it was unbelievable. And it's, you know, for somebody who grows up and you hear that Jesus makes everything good and your life will be good if you serve the Lord. When I saw that, I was like, what is this all about? You know, it was just a lot of things began to fall apart.
So 10 years old, you said that you made some foolish decisions. How foolish a decision can a 10-year-old make or 11-year-old make?
It's amazing because now when I travel and I do youth events and I see these little hands go up, 10, 12 years old, it blows my mind because for me at that very young age, it wasn't a story of peer pressure, but it was more of I want to get out, I want to destroy my life and make everybody pay for what I've had to go through. And so for me at 12 years old, I went out, I sought the kids at school that I knew were using drugs and I said, "Hey, I want to be a part of this." And a girlfriend of mine and I, we snuck out of the house, met up with some guys, and that was my first experience. Snorted a pain pill and just quickly progressed after that.
All right, so your initial motivations, you're angry.
Mm-hmm.
Are you trying to hurt your parents?
Yeah, definitely.
All right, you're angry, you want to hurt your parents. Did you want to destroy yourself as well, part of it?
I did. I can look back, and I think music had a huge influence on me.
How so?
I remember listening to this certain rock group, and they had a song called My Suicidal Dream. And I remember listening to those lyrics, and it started to feed that those voices that were telling me, you know, everything's hopeless. You might as well take your own life. And so at a very young age, I started dreaming of ways that I could take my life. And drugs, I think, was just a big part of that.
Mm. Kurt Cobain, of course, one of the more famous suicides in recent decades in the rock scene. One of quite a few famous rockers that died at the age of 27.
Yeah.
He said, I had a really good childhood up until I was 9. Then a classic case of divorce really affected me. Tell me about this song, this suicide song. I knew music, rock music, that whole scene up till 71 when I got saved. And some of that stuff is still classic rock and played and listened to today. And some of the groups, amazingly, still around. I was not expecting to see the Rolling Stones playing with Mick Jagger, 70 years old, but some of the stuff's been around, but I never really listened to the words back then, maybe being a drummer, whatever it was. I was more in the music and all the riffs and everything, but I didn't really listen to the words. Years later, I heard some of the music again and listened to the words and realized there was a lot more going on than I realized, but I don't remember anything as overt, mm-hmm. as hopeless. There was the My Generation stuff of the Who, and we're going to rise up and rebel, and there was a lot of sensuality and sex and drugs in the words, but you're talking about suicide types of songs or self-destructive mm-hmm. types of songs. Explain that more.
Well, that's amazing that you mentioned Kurt Cobain, because that was part of my generation. I used to listen to his music, and this one particular group, it was also part of that grunge era, mm-hmm. and the song talks about, the lyrics are literally saying, my suicidal dream, voices telling me what to do, my suicidal dream, I hope you will get yours too. And he starts going through the different lyrics, talking about different ways that you could take your life. And so when you're a young person and you start becoming mesmerized by this music, it is getting inside of your spirit, and it does affect your decisions.
All right, let me ask you a related question about the pain a lot of young people are feeling. I asked a group of teenagers that I was speaking to recently. I was doing some leadership meetings and teaching at a Jewish leadership conference, and I said, if I'm going to come, because it was families and everybody, I said, if I'm going to come, I want a session with the teenagers, which is not the normal request. So I'm in with these kids, and they're almost all of them raised in the faith, and most of them pretty committed believers. But I started to ask them about teen suicide, and why do these things happen, and what's behind it. And then I asked about kids cutting themselves and this whole phenomenon. And one of them, 12-year-old kid, said a lot of kids just feel there's nothing to live for. They have no hope. There's nothing to live for. Which is such a painful thing to hear, but you're ministering to young people like this constantly. In this younger generation, why is there so much pain? Why are they so suicidal? Why are they cutting themselves? I mean, outwardly, a lot of them seem to have things okay, and some of them even suburbs and a lot of money in the families and all this. Why is there so much pain, hopelessness, despair?
Well, I think a couple of things that I see is, number one, the lack of the role of the father in the household. Mm-hmm. And a lot of kids that I know, either there is no father in the picture, or if he's there, he's distant or abusive or fill in the blank. So I think that's one thing that I see on a consistent basis. But also, I think the media plays a tremendous role in how these kids are behaving.
Go ahead, explain.
Well, it's just, there was a young girl that I ministered to up in West Virginia, up in the mountains, and she was 14 years old. And what had happened is, after one of the services I did, literally it took about 5 men to hold this young girl down. Mm. She was screaming, violently tormented with demons, and went over, began to minister to this young girl. A lot of things transpired, but she did eventually get delivered. But afterward, I set her up and I said, I want you to tell me, what was the entry point of this torment in your life? And she shared the same thing with me. She said, I was bullied at school, and I went home and I began to listen to this dark metal music. And that's when the voices started speaking to me and telling me to take my own life. And her mother showed me pictures on her phone where the daughter had cuts all the way up and down her arms, all the way up and down her legs. But I think it was just, you know, a lot of kids are bullied at school. They listen to this music, and it kind of feeds those emotions that they're feeling.
Amazing. And a lot of parents really have no clue about the world their kids are living in. And now, through social media mm-hmm. and then through things available on the internet, they can go into a world of virtual reality that's a very dark, destructive world. All right, Amy, on your website, we'll come back with your descent into sin and destruction and how the Lord saved you. Amy Lambert Global. Yeah, that's it. AmyLambertGlobal.org. If folks go to the website, what will they find there?
There's some video clips on there. They can also get in touch if they wanted me to come and speak, that type of thing. If they're interested in our city invasion outreaches, we're definitely, you know, traveling around and doing those as well. So
great. All right. And we want to talk about street ministry that you do today as well. So we come back, friends. We're going to find out how this young woman, full of life, loving the Lord, serving Him, very fulfilled and blessed today, how she almost didn't make it into her 20th year. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I am joined in the studio today by Amy Lambert. She is an evangelist reaching out to street kids. She is reaching out to the lost. I don't think she's particularly interested in preaching to church crowds unless she can get the church crowds out reaching the lost. Her website, AmyLambertGlobal.org. If you've got young people in your life and you don't know how to reach them and they seem very lost, feel free to give us a call, 866-348-7884. So, Amy, your dad's a pastor, 10 years old. He tells you he and your mom are getting divorced. He's stepping down from ministry. Your world collapses. By the age of 12, you decide in rebellion and anger and lashing out in self-destructive mode, you're going to start doing drugs. You snort a pain pill. What happens next?
Well, it was such a quick process. By the time I was 13, I had taken acid, marijuana, cocaine, basically anything I could get my hands on. And, you know, looking back on those years, it was the friends that I was hanging out with. It was their parents that were actually supplying me and my friends with these drugs.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely.
So I guess my generation growing up and still getting high.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, you know, it's like, I looked back when I was in the middle of it, I thought, man, they've got the coolest parents in the world.
Right.
But now I look at it and I just want to strangle them, you know?
Yeah, that's unreal that they do it with their own kids and then supply it for other neighborhood kids. So 13 years old, was it at this point now the power of drugs that was pulling you in and the enjoyment of drugs that was pulling you in? In other words, did you go beyond the self-destructive mode and now start to get hooked on drugs?
Yeah, definitely. I think it started out as a way of escape. I was trying to escape all the pain I felt inside. But eventually, about the age of 15 years old, I became addicted to a prescription drug called OxyContin.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had to learn, you know, as a drug addict does, how do you support your habit? So went out, started to steal from people, steal from my family members, started selling drugs as a teenager, and just quickly got deeper and deeper into it.
Yeah, you know, sitting here with you and knowing where your life is, and you're, you know, vivacious, full of joy in the Lord, and I hear you say those things, it's so painful to think of, but I was doing similar things, you know, dealing drugs at 15 and in order to have money to do drugs. And to me, I thought I was cool. I thought that, man, look at what I'm doing, and the highs were very high, but it always comes back to bite you.
It absolutely does. I think, you know, in the very beginning, you get wasted and all this, but eventually you get to the point where you have to do it to survive. And that's where my addiction led me to, where I would wake up in the mornings as a teenager and I would be physically sick, you know, start going through those physical withdrawals if I didn't have something first thing in the morning.
So the thing that used to get you really high, you now need large quantities of it to feel almost the way you used to feel without drugs.
Exactly. I remember going into the grocery store and watching television, and I would look at normal people, and my heart would long for that, just for that sense of being normal and waking up feeling okay.
And what else happened in your life as you get older, you start to degenerate more? What's going on now?
Eventually, the addiction led me out to the streets, and, you know, as you continue on an addiction, it's like a monster that the more you feed, the more it needs to grow.
Mm-hmm.
And so eventually, I turned to the needle. And it was something, you know, I didn't think I would ever do. But when you're running with those people you know, I was introduced to it and became addicted to the needle itself.
Yeah.
And so started this lifestyle of trafficking drugs in and out of state. We'd fly, pick up shipments of cocaine and pain medicine, started selling on a pretty big level. And eventually I became a needle junkie. I was addicted to heroin, OxyContin, and the addiction that I had led me to the point where I would inject like 20 times a day. I mean, it just got completely out of control. And if you would have looked at me back during that time period, I literally looked like a dead person walking around. I just, there was no life. My face was gray almost. I was very skinny. And, you know, for years I prayed to die. I didn't want to be alive.
So you always believed that there was a God?
I did. You know, looking back on it, I remember there were times where I would be using drugs and I'd be hanging out with Wiccans and atheists and we would all start having these debates. And I remember saying, it's Jesus. I would talk about Jesus even in the middle of it, but I didn't have a relationship with him.
All right, we're going to fast forward and we're going to go back in time a little bit later in the broadcast. How is it that Jesus transformed your life?
I think, honestly, it was a matter of totally surrendering to him and taking that step of faith to say, God, I don't want to hold on to any of this anymore, willing to jump off the cliff, so to speak, and give my heart totally to him. But it was also a huge process of renewing the mind. And I think a lot of times people want that almost like that zap from God for them to be instantly delivered, instantly made well. But they're not willing to walk through that those steps of Jesus saying, if you know the truth, it's the truth that will make you free. And so I got heavily involved in discipleship, scripture memory, you know, just digging in the Word of God as much as I possibly could. And that is what truly brought the transformation in my life.
And how old were you then?
Well, at that point, it was around the age of, I gave my life to Christ at 19. So after that, it was about 4 years of solid, intense discipleship.
Got it. All right. And some people have an instantaneous deliverance and then the renewal of the mind. Some people experience their deliverance through renewal of the mind. How long have you been 100% free from any type of addiction to drugs, alcohol, anything like that?
It's been a solid like 9 years.
Got it. Totally free.
Yep, totally free.
Right, so you don't see yourself as a recovering drug addict.
No, and I have to say that's a pet peeve of mine. You know, when people get up and say, hi, I'm Amy Lambert, I'm an alcoholic, I'm a drug addict. I'm like, no, you're not. If you're in Christ, you're a new creation.
Exactly.
You don't have to be that old person anymore.
Exactly. And you may be tempted, in a, you know, or maybe short-tempered with someone, or someone cuts you off on the road, you're a human being, you get a little agitated, but I'm sure you're not tempted to do drugs.
I'm absolutely not. And, you know, I talk to the people we disciple, the homeless ministry that we disciple, and I tell them, you know, after you cross that point, God starts dealing with some of the maybe the deeper issues,
the
pride and the things like that in your life. But those things are not a temptation.
Yeah.
Anymore.
And the things I got delivered from 41 years ago in a short matter of time, they were out of my life for good. And that was that. Friends, Jesus really does transform. You know, Amy, you didn't know this, and I didn't know the answer you were going to give, but it's a perfect promo for a resource that we have. So, friends, the best book that I've written, do you have this, Amy, Go and Sin No More?
I don't.
All right, we'll get you a copy before you leave. It's the most practical book that I've written to help you overcome sin, learn to live a holy life, learn to live by the power of grace, learn how to be free from legalism, while living a disciplined life in the Lord. It's practical. It's full of scripture. It's full of amazing quotes from leaders in the past. Also with the book, I have a teaching series that I took some of the most important material from the book and taught it in messages and sermons. So together, the audio series, it's about 10 hours of teaching on a CD that you listen to on your computer or your MP3 player. The audio series plus the book, retail value is $30-something dollars. They're yours together for your gift of any size. So those who can help with more, help those who have less so we can get this out to as many as possible. Friends, this will change your life as you get into the Word in this material. Call right now to order 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. Don't underestimate the power of the gospel.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us today on the Line of Fire. We are bringing you encouragement. It's always my goal, no matter how sober we may be about needs in society and needs in the church, to give you hope. In the Lord, there's always hope. The worst day of your life, in the most tragic circumstances, maybe beyond anything I could relate to, maybe that's where you are right now, in Jesus, there is always hope. And we are exalting the life-changing power of the gospel today. And one great way to do that is by testimony. 866-348-7884. My guest in the studio with me, Amy Lambert, does evangelism in particular to young people, lost young people, homeless, street kids, alcoholics, prostitutes, drug addicts, gang members. Those are the ones that her heart beats for. Those are the ones that she reaches out to. Her website is amylambertglobal.org. Amy, you come from a Christian home, traumatized by your parents' divorce at age 10. And you said our first half hour that your dad being a pastor and your father, when he stepped down from ministry and now there's divorce, both of your worlds were shattered. You start doing drugs at the age of 12. Not long after that, you're getting heavily into drugs. You end up dealing drugs. You painted a picture of yourself looking like the Walking Dead. I've seen some pictures online of people after X number of years of crack cocaine use or whatever the drug was, and here's before and after. I mean, it looks like someone doctored the pictures. Like you say, no one could change that much in 3 years. No one could, you know, the hair loss, the teeth loss, everything, face drawn. Paint a picture of what you looked like, what your life looked like at the age of 19, just 10 years ago.
Well, I was extremely thin. My arms were covered with track marks from the needle. It got to the place where...
And you were shooting up to 20 times a day.
Yeah, I was. And it got to the place where, you know, I couldn't find any more veins in my arms. So then I'm trying to find veins throughout my body to shoot up. And I would get abscesses from time to time where your veins just get weak from all of the needle use. But literally looked like a dead person. And like I said, got to that point where I was injecting multiple times a day.
And were you feeling much in life? Did things excite you? Did you have any joy? Did you have any sense of purpose?
You know, one thing about it, when you're on opiates like that and Xanax and alcohol, I mean, you name it, I was trying to just drown out all of my sorrows. I remember I would sleep and I would want to sleep all day long. And when I would wake up, I would be disappointed that I woke up the next morning.
How then does Jesus get hold of you? You said all during this time you knew he was there or that he was the answer. You're that low. You're so dull. You're so deadened. The idea of finding a way out or starting a new life doesn't even exist anymore. How did God reach out and start the process of saving you and delivering you?
You know, I look at the story in the Bible of the woman, the Samaritan woman, and how Jesus came to her and basically read her mail, and that changed her. Mm-hmm. And that was me. I would be out on the streets. You know, I remember one time pumping gas, and this group of teenagers that was in a youth group came up to me, and they start just reading my mail and talking to me about Christ and God's purpose and plan for me. And I remember this happened to me. It started to happen on a consistent basis, where total strangers would come up and they would know things about me and start reaching out to me. And that really was what broke that hardness that I'd had for so long.
And then hope started to arise. And we come back, we'll find out about that step when you went from death to life and what God began to do. And then we want to talk about the people that Amy's reaching out to, street ministry, what's happening in the culture, and how Jesus is saving, to this moment, the worst of sinners.
Oh God of burning, cleansing flame, send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
God loves you.
You come near me, I'll kill you.
Yeah, you can do that. You could cut me up into 1,000 pieces and lay them in the street. And every piece will still love you.
Yeah, those were the words of David Wilkerson and Nikki Cruz as dramatized in the Cross and the Switchblade movie with Pat Boone, of course, famously playing David Wilkerson there. We're talking about the power of the gospel to change lives, the power of testimony. My guest, Amy Lambert, she's based in Charlotte, North Carolina. Her ministry, Amy Lambert Global, the website, amylambertglobal.org. All right, so 19 years old, dead and lost in sin. And I can relate to a certain extent. I was addicted to the needle as a 16-year-old. I was called drug baron Iron Man because of the massive amount of drugs I could put in my body. But I never got – what happened was when the habit became too expensive after just a week because I had high resistance to drugs, it got too expensive too quick. So I just switched to a less expensive drug. And it was starting to cause degeneration in every area of my life, heroin in particular, but I never got to that point of being so strung out. And I think I would have died of an overdose or something crazy first, just the way I was living. You had this now, 7 years of heavy drug use, dealing, I'm sure, on the edge with the law and everything else, and almost losing your life in different ways. When you first had hope again, when you first called out to the Lord, do you remember what it felt like when you actually believed that he loved you where you were and that there was hope for Amy Lambert? Do you remember what that felt like?
I do. For me personally, it was in a hospital bed. And I was
Why were you in a hospital?
My arm had completely abscessed. It swelled up the size of a grapefruit. Had to be admitted to the hospital. They did a lot of tests and basically took my parents in a room and said, of the stages of addiction, I was at the last stage before death. And so pretty much, you know, here I am given a diagnosis of soon to be death. And I was hopeless. I was at that rock bottom moment. And this precious group of women came into the hospital to visit me. They had been fasting and praying for me.
For you.
Yeah, just full of the Holy Spirit and started to speak into those deep places in my heart.
And they weren't street kids. They weren't addicts. They were church women.
Little older church women.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and friends, those are the kind of people that prayed me into the kingdom. Older brothers, older sisters that love me. My friends were witnessing to me, but they're the ones that prayed me in. And that's really often the difference in life and death. These saintly people that can't even relate to how you lived. I mean, some came out of it, but most couldn't. But they know Jesus. Mm-hmm. All right, so they come in the hospital room. What happens?
They started to pretty much, you know, minister to those places in my life there's no way they could have known about. God started speaking and moving. And it's like I always tell people, you know, I felt like the fire of God came out of them and into me.
Mm.
And that was my breaking point. And I basically was like, all right, Jesus, if you don't do this, I'm going to die soon. And so totally, you know, surrendered my heart to him through my tears on a hospital bed. But I remember it was almost like breathing a breath of fresh air, you know, that life that was breathed into me for the first time in years, basically.
And when did you know that you were forgiven and the cloud of guilt lifted off of you?
You know, honestly, that's one thing I can say I'm very thankful for, is that when I got saved, I got it.
Uh-huh.
And I remember even through my struggles, I was saved, but I was still fighting the physical part of the addiction. And I remember one time going up to the altar for prayer, for the church people to pray for me. And this man was trying to lead me through the prayer of salvation again because I was struggling.
Right, right.
But I knew in my spirit, this isn't right. Because I knew I was born again. I changed instantaneously. My inside changed. You know, my nature changed. But I still had those physical things I had to overcome.
How long did it take you to break the addictions? And or how did you? I know you talked about renewing the mind and being discipled, but there were physical addictions. Did you have to go to detox? Did you have to go to a teen challenge program or something? How did it happen?
I actually went to a doctor. He's from New Zealand, and he does this clinical detoxing where they put an implant under my skin that would block opiates for up to 3 months. And during that time period, someone had told me about a program called Mercy Ministries of America. And so I applied to the program, was admitted, and I went there for 12 months.
12 months.
Yep.
All right. Do you recommend people who've really been in an addictive lifestyle for a period of time take serious amount of time to come out of their addiction?
Absolutely. I cannot stress it enough.
Yeah. And look, there are exceptions. I mean, I got instantly free and then just kind of look back at things. But again, I had 2 years of intensive, crazy drug use and a decadent, sinful lifestyle. But it's still different when something has been an addiction, a physical addiction, and then everything with it. So if someone's been heavily porn addicted or heavily drug addicted or alcohol addicted, they can be instantly set free. And they can have such a radical conversion now. They follow Jesus with all their heart and mind. And their detox is just being with on fire believers and being on fire themselves. Mm-hmm. But in the majority of cases, things that are this deep-seated take some deep-seated work. And that's part of the discipleship process. That's not leaning on the arm of the flesh. That's part of God's healing, discipling process. So, Amy, you've seen God save someone like you. You know then he can save anyone. How quickly did you start developing a burden to reach out to people who are just like you and start to give your life to reaching lost young people?
Well, during that process where I was in Mercy Ministries for a year, I knew in my heart that I was always going to travel and share my testimony. I had a vision to travel the world and share my story. But it wasn't until I ended up going to the inner city of St. Louis, Joyce Meyer's Dream Center out there, and got involved in their discipleship and evangelism program that I went out on the streets and actually started leading people to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when I really realized, you know, it's not just to tell my story, but there's a bigger purpose in all of this.
And obviously, your average church person comes up to some kid, maybe dressed all in black, maybe with crazy hairstyle, some vile tattoos, and, you know, pierced in all kinds of different ways. You almost think, do we even speak the same language? But is there a universal language or universal need that, obviously you're going to be better equipped to reach certain people than I will, and I'll be better equipped to reach certain ones than you will. But is there like a universal language, universal need, even in someone that looks so foreign to most of us?
I think 100% absolutely. And I think the bottom line is the love of Jesus, because no matter where people are, if they can sense, and one thing that I've understood and learned through working out on the streets is somebody can tell within a matter of 60 seconds whether you are for real or whether you're not.
Mm.
And they can tell whether you truly love them or if you're just doing a recited, you know, 10 steps to Jesus or 3 steps to Jesus.
So in other words, an older man in a suit and tie who's been in church all his life with a broken heart for a younger generation can start talking to one of these kids and they'll know he's for real and he's sincere. And someone else who gets all pierced and tattooed to try to reach out and their heart's not deep, they'll see through that.
Absolutely. One thing about people on the streets is they have an intuition or a discernment, if you will. They can tell if people are for real or not.
All right. So street ministry, what do you do? What does it look like?
We go out on Friday nights. I used to do it in St. Louis for years, loved it. And so in Charlotte, we go out on Friday nights, go down to, we call it Project 28206. It's the 11th most deadly zip code in the United States.
Really?
Yep. And it's down on North Tryon in Charlotte.
Seriously?
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
But been down there, I mean, I've literally been out there when a drive-by took place. A prostitute got shot in the stomach. I mean, down there where you see, like I said, you see male and female prostitutes. It's just some of the saddest cases that you could see right on the streets on Friday nights.
And what do you do?
We go up to people. We're not weird, but we just go up to them. We say, hey, what's your name? How are you doing tonight? We hear their stories. We take time to get to know them. And then we get to the heart of their issues, you know, praying for them. And one thing that started to happen on Friday nights is we've been having people running up to us because they recognize us. They've seen us out there time after time. And they're saying, hey, I need healing. Or one man came up with a crack rock in his hand. He came running up to our team saying, you've got to help me get delivered from this.
Wow.
They know what we're all about. We're praying for the sick. We're praying for people to get set free. And they see us, and now they're coming up to us.
And are you seeing any of these people in the Charlotte area, in that zip code, getting out of that lifestyle and going on with Jesus?
We are. We've helped several people get connected to recovery programs. You know, one thing about it, when you're living in the middle of, you know, the den of Satan, you've got to get out of that environment in order to get freedom. So we've helped some people get plugged into recovery programs. Plus, every weekday, we do discipleship. So we've got the homeless and, you know, some of the pimps and prostitutes that are coming in, transvestites that are coming in, and they're sitting under the Bible.
Amazing. Yeah, if you want to know what church would look like if Jesus came to your neighborhood and set it up, this is probably what it would look like. All right, we're going to ask some more questions about this young generation and give you hope. Jesus is alive and at work. No one is beyond his reach.
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I know that Jesus loves me because I can feel it. I know he's healing my heart. And that's the only thing that I can say. I'm healed because the love of Jesus Christ.
I'm a witness.
Yeah. I'm a witness. Nikki Cruz. Wonderfully saved. Friends, if you're saved, if your life has been changed by the gospel, you have a testimony. A lot of people say, I don't know what to say. I don't know who to talk to. You have a testimony. You can always share your testimony. There is tremendous power in it. Michael Brown, joined by my guest, Amy Lambert. It's just such a joy, Amy, to be sitting here talking to you because of the smile on your face, knowing what God saved you out of. I wish I had a picture of me right before I got saved at my worst, lowest moment so I could then contrast it, but I didn't know I was going to get saved and have a testimony. So at your worst moments, you know, in the hospital and all that, you could add some pictures. What a merciful God. Amy, I want you to say something to our listeners in Charlotte. Charlotte, North Carolina is the only city in America right now that gets 2 hours live on radio. And you said something that I'm sure would shock a lot of people in Charlotte about the second most dangerous zip code in America. Just say that again.
It's a zip code in North Charlotte, or in Charlotte, 28206. It's the 11th most dangerous zip
11th.
Code in the United States.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
11th is still strikingly high. Second, I don't know how I heard it. Probably translated it wrong in my head there. All right. 11th most dangerous zip code. Why do young people get into gangs? It's so pervasive now, especially in the inner city. Why do they get into gangs?
Absolutely. A lack of having a father. And so they're needing that approval. They need that acceptance, and they find it in a gang.
And how violent is gang life? Is it just a thing of solidarity, or is there a lot of violence that comes out of it?
There is a lot of violence in it. I think some cities are worse than others, but, you know, part of the initiation process is usually for the kids to go out and do something crazy, commit some kind of violent crime.
All right. And with kids who come from terribly broken homes and the environment they go back to, well, give me a picture of it. Maybe there's we're not condemning the single moms that are out there. The gospel, the good news is for them just the same. And for the deadbeat dads, if they'll turn to the Lord, the gospel's the same for them. But there's a home, maybe there are four kids in the home with three different fathers, and they don't see any of them on a regular basis, and the mom's with another man now. How do you fix that? And drugs are going through the home, and there's no work ethic and stuff, and that's what they've been raised in. They've got 2 3/4 strikes against them before they're 3 years old. How do we change that?
I think that's the importance of having spiritual fathers and spiritual mothers that will take a vested interest into these kids, to pour into their lives, to be there for them, to go to their school projects, to be a part of their lives. But it's going to take the church to step up and become those mentors.
So it's not just a matter of pray the prayer and pat them on the back and give them a follow-up book that they can read on their own.
Absolutely not.
All right. You recently were asked to address denominational meeting about what the church needs to do. Because a lot of people want to do something and they don't know what to do. Or folks, I mean, look, there's drugs and violence and junk in the suburbs as well as in the inner city. A lot of people either are in denial or they don't know how to deal with it, or they just want a nice, pristine, lovely church service. What does the church need to understand? Give us three pointers that we can leave everyone with.
I think the first thing that we need to understand is that this generation, whether they come from the streets of this, you know, drug addicted culture or that rough lifestyle, or whether it is a suburb kid, this new generation, they're not coming to the traditional services. We've got to go to them and we've got to reach them where they are. And that's, you know, the big thing about the outreaches that we're doing now with our city invasion events is that we're creating these concert events that these kids can come to.
You've had thousands of kids come to some?
Yeah, we've had thousands of kids come. We've done now five events around the country and we're planning some more next year. But the second thing segues into it, and that is they speak a whole new language. This next generation, they speak a whole different language. It's very electronically, social media driven, and we've got to communicate to them in a way that they understand. And I think, you know, in doing evangelism, one thing, you know, the Bible says that he who wins souls is wise. So we've got to be wise in how we reach this generation, and the methods that we use to reach them may change. You know, the days of the Crusades of old where you come into a city and put up a banner and expect them to come, they're not going to come to that.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got to be wise in ways to reach this new generation, but the message doesn't change.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't water it down. We give them the same message. But then the third thing is this: what I see in this new upcoming generation is that once they get it, once they get the message of the gospel, they're not going to be satisfied to just sit in a pew and just listen to a message week after week. This is a generation that is moved by, you know, they want to go out, they want to do things, they want to get behind a vision, they want to get behind a movement. And so we've got to engage them, not just to sit there, but to send them back out to the places that they came from and to get a part of a bigger picture.
Got it. Well, Amy, we're thrilled to see what God's doing through you. Any ways that we can partner with you in the future, it'd be a joy to do it. And friends, I want to encourage you again, don't give up hope on that person that's lost, that's hit bottom 10 times over. Why do I say don't give up hope? Because they're still alive. They're still breathing. Amy, one of my friends for decades has been up and down and in and out of programs and decades. And we got saved together, but then he just is up and down on prescription drugs and other issues, and he should have died several times over. And he should have been brain dead or something, and he's not, and he's fine. And I said, hey, look, man, there's hope. You're alive. God's kept you alive for a reason. Friends, pray with renewed faith. Reach out again. And then say, Lord, what can I do? What can I do? You can support Amy's ministry. Go to amylambertglobal.org. Or you can say, Lord, I want to get involved in my own city. Look, in every city, there are going to be churches and organizations reaching out, the inner city, or reaching out to young people. And one of the great needs is for moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas to be there for these young people. Get involved. You can make a difference. And friends, I want to encourage every one of you, take advantage of what we're doing this week. Get this in your hands, my book, Go and Sin No More, How to Overcome Sin in Your Life, How to Be Holy, How to Live Free from Condemnation, How God's Grace Changes Us, How to Be Free from Legalism, How to Walk in Liberty in God with Sin Under Your Feet. My book, Go and Sin No More, you'll find tremendously practical and helpful. I also have an audio series teaching over 10 hours that goes with it. Retail value is $30-something, but yours for your gift of any size. So be as generous as you can, but please, everyone, take advantage of this. Call right now, 1-800-278-9978, 1-800-278-9978. One more time, that's 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today, the same God who saved the worst of sinners, the Apostle Paul, before he knew the Lord, is the same God who saved Amy Lambert, the same God who saved me. No one is beyond the reach of the goodness and love and power of the gospel. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. You're going to hear about the amazing, life-changing changing power of the gospel today. Prepare to be encouraged.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I want to encourage you today. I want to build your faith today. I want to remind you of what God can do, of the power of the gospel to save and to transform. Michael Brown, thanks so much for joining us today on The Line of Fire. I want to do this. I've done it here and there over the years, but I want to do this again today. Here's the number, 866-34-TRUTH. 866-348-7884. If you have been delivered by the Lord, I don't mean that gradually you outgrew some bad habits or just through moral reform you put certain things out of your life. I mean you were bound. You were bound by drugs. You were bound by alcohol. You were bound by pornography. You were bound by gambling. You were bound, and Jesus set you free. Jesus set you free maybe 30 years ago, maybe 6 months ago. I want to invite you to call and glorify the Lord with me. As the psalmist said in Psalm 34, taste and see that the Lord is good. As he said there, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. We won't have time to hear complete testimonies. We won't have time to hear how God worked at length, but we can hear in short what he's done. I want to share how he worked in my own life and the process of deception, of sin that took place in my own life. You know, no one plans to destroy their lives. Let me restate that. No one who is doing well in this world and who is enjoying life plans on how to destroy their lives. Some people who've lost all hope, some people who are completely broken, some people who are fighting addictions and depression and everything's collapsing around them or they've lost everything they had, they plan on how to destroy their lives. But most people are not planning on how to destroy their lives, and yet they end up destroying them. Why? Because of the deceitfulness of sin. Because of the destructive power of sin. But far more powerful than the destructive power of sin is the power of the gospel. So I want to exalt Jesus today. You sound like some old-time fundamentalist preacher. Well, if he was preaching the truth, that's just great. If he was preaching the truth of Jesus, the life-changing power of the gospel, that's fine with me. I just want to declare to you that there is new life in Jesus. I want to declare to you if you're bound by something, if you're enslaved, if you are addicted, I want to declare to you that there is freedom and hope in Jesus. Some of you know my story well, but many of you don't realize that I was shooting heroin at the age of 15, that I used to huff diesel gas to get high. That I stole money from my own father to help out friends of mine that had needs, drug needs or whatever else. I was so full of pride and hardness that the first church service I attended in August of 1971, a young lady who knew me from high school wrote down in her journal, "Antichrist comes to church." I was not always Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Oh, I was in the midst of another revolution, a counterculture revolution, one that was owned by sex, drugs, rock and roll, one that was owned by sin and the flesh. Jesus delivered me from a lost life and gave me hope and purpose. He can do it for you. He can do it for anyone you know. That's the power of the gospel of Jesus.
Flame, send the
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Let's get a witness. Let's glorify the Lord. Let's encourage one another with the power of the gospel. 866-348-7884. I'm sharing some of my testimony. Just spent a great hour with Amy Lambert, based now in Charlotte, North Carolina, but traveling around the nation, preaching Jesus to street kids, to the most lost out there people in our society today. The whole reason Jesus came into the world was to save sinners. And sometimes we need to be encouraged ourselves. Sometimes we need new hope. Sometimes we get in a rut and we don't see a way out. And then you hear someone talking and you realize, wow, they were where I am. They were who I used to be who I am today. And, you know, it's like someone on a weight loss program and they show you before and after pictures. Like, whoa, that's amazing. I remember when we had Melissa Freyrier speak for us at Fire Church. She was then with Focus on the Family. And she came out of lesbianism and just a wonderful testimony. But I've only known her as a believer. And she showed a picture of herself before she was saved, and she looked literally like a different human being, and the type you'd think would, whoa, absolutely reject the gospel, totally reject the gospel. That's where God met her. When I got saved, I thought everybody in the church, little church where I was, that they were all lifetime believers, that they were all saved out of the womb kind of thing, and then found, well, you were that, then you were that, and you were that? Really? I remembered, because I came to faith the end of 1971, so it was winter. I remember it was now months have gone by. I'm in the church, and there was this passionate brother in his 60s, Nick Santalucia, Brother Nick. And basically, almost everybody in the church was Italian. And he and his friend called him Brother Trixie. That was his nickname, but that's how we knew him. Trixie Grazioso. These men greeted me at the door, men in their 60s, full of life and full of joy, and just loved me as a lost sinner. It was quite amazing to see. So I knew these guys as saintly men. And now it's summertime, and Brother Nick comes into the service, and he's wearing a short-sleeved shirt, and he's got a tattoo. Now, you got to understand how rare that was. This is 1972, a man with a tattoo. It's just not what I was used to running into, especially with a church person, man in his 60s now, and I found out he'd been on a chain gang before. I mean, he was a lost sinner that Jesus saved, and he doesn't just save, he delivers, he frees us. The word says, if the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. If Jesus has delivered you from an addiction, from a destructive lifestyle, I want you to call in and share that and glorify the Lord together, because I want to encourage others who are struggling. I want to encourage others in terms of the power of the gospel. 866-348-7884. We will start in Dallas, Texas with Andrew. Andrew, what did the Lord deliver you from? Hello, Andrew. Are you there? We've lost Andrew. Let's go to Will in Bradenton, Florida. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire, Will. What did the Lord deliver you from?
I was delivered from porn, and I was quite certain when it happened that it had happened and that it was, in fact, a very concise miracle, because I was caught on the Internet, and I recognized that I had gotten caught, and I said, oh God, you've got to deliver me from this. And not only did he deliver me from being caught at it, he delivered me from the desire for it. I find it now, as I had prayed for years, Lord, let me abhor this, let me just hate this. And I do now. I hate it, I abhor it. I wasn't delivered slowly. It was miraculously overnight. It was done, and it's finished. And I spent 17 years in prison for a crime I committed, and it was all because of porn. And I've been out for 7 years, and I slipped a little bit and got myself caught in no time at all. And I'm so grateful. And I glorify the Lord for delivering me, for saving me from myself. And I know that it can happen in anyone else's life.
Will, let me just ask you this. How did pornography lead you to commit a crime?
It escalates. It builds. You have to have more and more of an excitement level. And things just went haywire. And when I would find someone willing to do silly stuff, I did crazy stuff. And it just got out of hand, and I brought myself to the end of myself socially.
And
the Lord has delivered me spiritually, and I'm just so grateful.
Praise God. And Will, how long has it been that addiction has turned to now a complete rejection of pornography in your life?
The abhorrence that I prayed for years has only been 2 months, but I know how abhorrent it is now to me. I know as long as I stay walking fresh with the Lord, day by day, moment to moment, I won't ever go back to anything as abhorrent as I find it now in my mind's eye.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, praise God. We'll keep walking in the right direction, and that will be out of your life for good. Delivered from the power of pornography, 866-34-TRUTH. What's nice to see is phone lines lighting up with people who want to share their testimonies of what Jesus has done. Stephen in the Colony, Texas, I understand you're a pastor now, but you were not always a pastor. What did the Lord deliver you from?
Praise God. He's delivered me from just about everything that you can do to harm your body and your flesh, mind, body, spirit, just about anything that you can get into. I was into it. You know, I'm 49 years old, and I was just absolutely lost and playing music in the nightclubs and living that lifestyle. And it's a rock star lifestyle. People hand me this, try that, do this. I did that, and I got horribly addicted to cocaine and then crack and freebasing and methamphetamine. And I always smoked marijuana my whole life since I was probably 12 or 13. And just out of control, just out of control. And today...
Go ahead.
No more.
How is it that the Lord set you free? Was it a sudden thing that happened? Did you come to the end of yourself? What brought it about?
I had a friend that OD'd, dear friend, Todd Ornelas. He is a good dear friend of mine, and we were partying together, and he was doing some other things that I wasn't doing, and he had four beautiful kids, and he left them. I got that call one day, and he died. And I didn't want my kids to know that I died, that I was going to die, because I was already dying. Quite frankly, Scripture says, you're dead already.
Mm-hmm.
You're dead already. And I was. And I was on the end of the rope at the bottom, and I pretty much called him out. I said, if you're a God, show me, you know, because I can't do this anymore. I don't want my kids to find out that I OD'd myself, or I was in jail for a long period of time, or I killed somebody on my way home at 4 or 5 in the morning.
Mm.
Crazy things that I was doing. And today, look how God does things. You know, he delivered me from everything. I mean, I haven't had a beer in 7.5 years, a cigarette. I don't have any urge to do anything. My last vice is coffee, and I'm very grateful for that. I'm so grateful.
Yeah, you know, it's...
Now
it's,
he
what's
has it? Me...
Yeah, go ahead.
He has me involved in a ministry to help people off of drugs and alcohol, the addicted, the oppressed of that. And it's called Serenity Church. You can Google it. It's a 12-step-based ministry, but Jesus Christ is the higher power. There's only one higher power that can deliver a man from self and from dying to self and eternal condemnation, and it's Jesus Christ.
Yeah, well, Stephen, God bless you. That is the power of the gospel, and you know, sin presents itself to us a certain way. It promises us everything. It brings a certain amount of temporary excitement or pleasure, but it always kills. It always destroys. And life is only found in really knowing God. Thank God for his mercy in your life, and may he use you and that ministry to touch many others. Friends, we want to encourage you today with the power of the gospel. If Jesus has really delivered you from a life-controlling addiction, from a bondage, give us a call. I want to get to as many of you as I can, share some of my own testimony. And if you're listening and you're bound yourself, hey, you could be the next caller 6 months from now talking about how radically your life was transformed beginning today.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
We are glorifying the Lord today with the power of the gospel. We are talking about his transforming power. Look at what Paul wrote. Number to call, 866-348-7884. If the Lord has delivered you, if you have been truly set free, not just over a period of years, little by little, you changed or you know, used to be into certain things, not really into them now. But, I mean, Jesus delivered you. You were bound, and he delivered you. Give us a call. We want to encourage one another today. Listen to what Paul wrote in 1 Timothy 1. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me trustworthy, appointing me to his service, even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man. I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst, meaning the way he was living before, a blasphemer, a persecutor, and a violent man. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. If God could save someone like Saul of Tarsus, like Paul, if God could save someone like me, if God could save someone like Amy Lambert, my guest in the last hour, he can save you. And that means getting set free. Let's go to Rita in Kennesaw, Georgia. Rita, what did the Lord deliver you from?
Hello, Dr. Brown. First of all, I just want to thank God for you. I listen to your show as much as I can. And I
thank God
for being ahead of my life now. And I was addicted to cocaine. I had marijuana. I smoked marijuana 3 or 4 times a day. I was a sex addict. And I was addicted to ballrooms. I didn't really drink, but it was just the atmosphere I was addicted to.
Really?
And now God is my addiction. I want him as bad as I wanted the drug.
And
I give him all the glory.
Rita, how long were you living that lost lifestyle?
25 years.
25 years. How long have you been clean and free now?
15 years.
15 years. Isn't that amazing?
Sir.
And one day with the Lord is better than all those 25 years
Lord.
Combined.
Yes, Lord.
Well,
Amen.
Rita, man, thank God. That is awesome to hear, because those things, they can take somebody down, drag them away, and they never come back. That's the power of the gospel. Rita, thank you for sharing that. By the way, I'm going to be in Woodstock, Georgia, so right outside of Atlanta. I'm going to be in Woodstock, Georgia this weekend, Friday night, Saturday morning, leaders only, Saturday night and Sunday morning at Northgate Church of Atlanta. That is August 2nd through 4th, so Friday through Sunday. Join me, everyone listening on WNIV, please join me at these meetings. To find out more, just go to AskDrBrown.org, and when you click on About, you'll see itinerary, and you can find out more from there. All right, back to Andrew in Dallas, Texas. Andrew, what did the Lord deliver you from?
Oh, my. God delivered me from alcohol.
How long were you bound by alcohol?
It's 19 years now.
19? All right. You've been free for 19 years, or you were bound for 19 years?
Free for 19 years.
Free. Okay. And how long were you bound by alcohol before that?
I started drinking alcohol. I want to emphasize that I was saved. I gave my life to Christ at 11. I was a Sunday school teacher. And when I left to go to college, that's when I got introduced to alcohol through fraternity. I wasn't raised around alcohol. My mother didn't drink. My father didn't drink.
Really?
But I saw where Satan was trying to, I paralleled my life with the prodigal son. I took everything that God had given me, and for my selfish reasons, I wanted to go out into the world. I'm a musician, entertainer, songwriter. So I took all of that from the church, and I went into the world to organize my own band and stuff like this. And that's when I became hooked on the alcohol. I thought it was just a casual, you know, I could drink and I could stop when I get ready. Mm-hmm. But when God called me to the ministry, then that's when I didn't want to be a minister. I had witnessed other ministers who were in the pulpit. You could smell the alcohol in their breath. And I said, I don't want to be that, Lord. I don't want to be that type to mislead anyone. I tried to stop on my own numerous times. And the Lord said, when I finally just prayed, and I said, Lord, I can't do it. I can't do it myself. Then that's when he just it was like overnight.
Really, and 19, yeah, and it's now 19 years later, free. And, you know, sometimes we play games with sin, we flirt with it, we think we can take it or leave it, and then we realize, I don't have that habit. That habit has me. Andrew, thanks for sharing that. That's the mercy and power of God. Let's go to, Anthony in Fort Worth, Texas. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire. What did God deliver you from?
Hi, Dr. Brown. I basically was a garbage head. When starting from 15 years old, I started with smoking marijuana, and that escalated right to drinking and then everything under the sun, whatever I could get a hold of. I heard you earlier, you know, mentioning about some of the stuff, and I used to huff glue just to get high, just to get that feeling. Maybe even a tailpipe or two whenever the money was low and couldn't buy any drugs. And, you know, it became a bar scene, hopping from bar to bar, from friend to friend, and getting to the worst part that I always thought I would never do, and that would be shooting up heroin.
Mm. And Anthony, let me just jump in, only because we've got a break. How long have you been set free by the Lord from all those things?
In between, I've been set free, delivered 13 years in the Lord. Previous to that, I relapsed alcohol, and then previously I had 5 years clean through NA.
Got it. But 13 years, 13 years delivered from drugs, alcohol, nicotine, did things you never planned to do. That's what sin does. Thanks for calling, Anthony. Jesus is faithful. Takes you to places you never planned to go, keeps you longer than you planned to stay, costs you more than you planned to pay. Friends, get hold of my book, Go and Sin No More. It'll practically lay out in the scriptures how to overcome sin, how the enemy works, how we can get set free and live a new life in Jesus, where God's grace comes in, how to be free from legalism. You say, if you want me to get this book, why are you selling it? I'm not. It's available for your gift of any size. And I'm including with it an audio series where I teach some of the most important points from the book and preach and teach on those, another 10 hours of material on a CD to listen to on your computer or your MP3 player. So retail value is $30-something dollars for the two resources, but they're yours for a gift of any size. So everybody, take advantage of this. Those who can help with more, help those who have less. 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. One more time, that's 1-800-278-9978.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I want to encourage you, friends, to believe God no matter where you find yourself, to believe that He can give you a new life. I know this is a Christian radio broadcast, and the great majority of you listening are believers, but I know there are people listening right now. You're listening to me, and you've got no connection with God. And in fact, you are hopeless, and you are struggling with terrible addictions. Some of you are in the church. Some might even be in ministry, and you're privately struggling with addictions that really you should be stepping away, getting help, and getting free. I just want to say plainly that there is new life and transformation in the gospel, and that no one is beyond hope. We're encouraging one another today with testimonies of the power of God to change lives. I am a witness to that life-changing power now over 41 years, going on 42 years in just a few months, saved from a decadent, lost, profane life, brought into the goodness and mercy of the Lord at the age of 16. 866-348-7884. Let's go to Marcia. We lost Marcia, but she had been delivered from prostitution and alcohol. Let's go to Leon in Alpharetta, Georgia. Thanks for calling the line of fire.
Hi, Michael. How are you?
Blessed. Thank you.
Good. I'll try to be brief. I'm 63 years old. My wife and I just celebrated our 19th year of marriage. Michael, I was delivered from destructive, very unhealthy marital relationships in my earlier years. Got married three times in less than 6 years. Then, after the third divorce in 1984, I poured my heart out to the Lord to please help me understand what was wrong. I was the victim of emotional incest by my mom, and I think that contributed a great deal to the destructive relationship, because I thought all women should think I was as great as my mom thought. How foolish of me.
Mm.
But during that 10-year period of time between 1984 and 1994, when I married my current wife, I claimed Psalm 37:4, which says, delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Well, I lost myself in ministry, became a Sunday school teacher. I was single up above a bridge in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. All I did was eat, sleep, and drink the Word of God and share it with anybody I could.
Mm.
And I wish I had time to tell you the testimony of how I met my wife, how we met each other. But clearly, we never could have met each other. We kind of were dropped into each other's lives. I asked the Lord to please help me understand what I could ask this lady after I met her. And he told me, he said, just ask her about her father. And in my previous relationship, I learned that fathers so shape and mold the daughters, hearts.
They do.
And I didn't know that. Yeah.
In fact, Leon, just to jump in, because sure, we have a break coming up. When I was speaking to Amy Lambert, my guest in the first hour, she repeatedly talked about kids getting into gangs, kids do this, kids do that, and repeatedly said lack of a father. So a positive father, affirming, esteeming, nurturing kids. It is the way God set things up. But Leon, thanks for sharing what God's done in your life. Obviously, we're not advocating that you're a believer and you get divorced, remarried, God forbid. But you might be lost, and that might have been your life up to now. You might have been in and out of marriage and divorce in a cycle that was destructive. And now you've been saved, and you're a single person saved and trying to move forward. There's hope. God can actually do impossible things. What people say are impossible, God can actually do. Thank you for the call. You know, my wife Nancy, her mom was married four times. God saved her. We've been married 37 plus years with a wonderful, healthy, blessed marriage. He can deliver you from those destructive things as well.
Give us strength to always do what's right. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grief, where is thy victory?
You know, it's interesting. 1 Corinthians 15 says that the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. In other words, God's saying, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, but we don't have the power to change in ourselves. The power of the gospel breaks that cycle, breaks the power of sin, and now God's law is written on our heart, becomes our nature to do his will. 866-348-7884, Michael Brown. Thanks for joining us. John 8, Jesus says to the Jews who had believed him, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you know the truth, and the truth will set you free. They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free? Jesus replied, very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. That is the power of the gospel. We are glorifying the Lord together, testifying to what he has done. Let's go back to Atlanta. We lost Ken, delivered from drugs and alcohol. Tell you what, we'll stay in Atlanta with JT. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire. JT, what did the Lord deliver you from?
He delivered me from myself, but more specifically, anxiety, sexual addiction, unforgiveness, anger, all of which I really didn't know I had a problem with, really. Mm. And I was involved with a large number of women. I became very hard-hearted. And I like to say that a lot of men become hard-hearted after they get hurt at an early age. Mm-hmm. I remember taking a vow to myself with the first little girl that I slept with, and she actually cheated on me before we actually had sex. And I cried. I was mad. I started to hit her. But I looked up. I went outside after I ran out of the house and left her. I was hurting. I was crying and everything. And I said, okay, I'm still a virgin. I haven't had sex. I'm going back, and I'm going to get revenge. All that came up in my mind. I never said it out loud. And I never remembered that until I got born again. Because I started writing about my life, and I had forgotten that my babysitter had almost seduced me 2 times. But all these things came back to me once I got born again. And I truly say that my eyes were open. But a lot of men go through hurt at an early age. Some of them are molested. Have you ever seen the movie Anton Fisher?
No, I haven't.
It's a really good movie about how a guy can get hurt at an early age and get molested or whatever, and he takes that anger into his adult life.
And JT, how old were you when you made this determination that you're not going to get hurt again? How old were you then?
I think I was about 16 or 17.
Yep. Got it. All right. So then that becomes the pattern of your life, and you're gonna use women, and your heart's going to be hard towards that. How was it? And you mentioned a whole bunch of other things, you know, the unforgiveness and anxiety. And in other words, it wasn't, there's some physical sinful things, but there was a sinful human being. You said God delivered you from yourself. When did he set you free? How long has it been that you can really say, I'm a free man?
About 1985. Also, my father died when I was, I think I was 28. It was 1980. And when they told me I was here in Atlanta, and my father was in New York. And the last time I had seen my father, he had had a stroke, and he was in a nursing home. And I was getting ready to leave, but something wouldn't let me leave. I wasn't thinking about God. I was partying. I was doing, you know, just really lewd stuff. But I couldn't leave. But I picked my father up from the bed. I hugged him. And I don't know if you remember this commercial, this beer commercial. And this guy is like asking giving the guy counseling, and he said, how does that make you feel? And then he says, I love you, man. Well, I said that to my father. I had never heard, this was before the commercial. I said, I love you, man. And I cried, and my father cried a little bit. And I walked out of the room. I could see myself walk out of the room. That was the last time I saw my father alive. But I did not get over his death until I got born again. I carried that that anxiety. And I kept thinking about him. I couldn't sleep. And I had started reading my Bible. And the more I read my Bible, the more my father feared God. And that's one of the greatest gifts anybody can have, a father that fears God and loves God. And I couldn't stop thinking about him. But that's what happens to us men. You know, I used to wonder, why do men do so crazy stuff and have a lot of... It's a defensive mechanism so that we don't get hurt, so that we don't feel like a sissy, so that we don't cry.
Yeah, JT, thank God. I just got to jump in because I want to hear from a few more folks. But thank God for a testimony now. Freedom from those things that bound him, sex addiction, but anxiety and unforgiveness and other things, a new man since 1985. Those things go deep, but when Jesus saves, he really changes us. Look, friends, every day of my life I have to exercise discipline in different ways, right? We all do. Every day of our lives we make choices. But there are many things I was completely bound by and enslaved by before I was saved that I have been completely free from for over 40 years. That is the power of the gospel, the power of growing in Jesus and becoming all that he is calling us to be. Let's go to Ken in Seminole, Florida. Ken, what's the Lord done in your life?
Hi. I've been a Christian for a long time, but about 5 years ago, I got seriously depressed and stayed depressed until just recently, about the beginning of April. I had overdone it physically and lost my job. A friend betrayed me, and I was angry at him, and unforgiveness just got worse and worse with bitterness and resentment. And I stopped going to church. I wasn't sleeping much. I'd get in bed and couldn't sleep and get up and watch television, watching about 24/7. And then my sister came to visit. I was staying with my mom after 3 years. I went to live with her the last 2 years. And sister came, and she asked me if I wanted to go to church. And I had been thinking about it, so I went. They were having communion that week, and I didn't think I was fit to take communion with all the anger and unforgiveness and rebellion, really. And but as the service progressed toward the end of it, I started sobbing. And when the communion pastor was up there talking about communion, and I realized that God still loved me and he would forgive me. And I asked forgiveness and sobbed through the whole communion service. I took communion and I went out the side door, didn't talk to anybody. And after that, it was still tough. I'd go to bed and sleep a couple hours, and I'd get up in a spiritual battle. And I'd get up and read promises that I had written on 3x5 cards and some prayers that I got out of a book that dealt with spiritual battle. And, and just gradually over the last few months, the Lord's made me stronger and stronger, where I will go out of the house now, and I'm sleeping a lot better.
Thank God.
And I'm joyful now, and I'm handing out tracts and witnessing again, and, the Lord's restored me. I didn't think how far I was too far gone, that I couldn't be set free, and he did it, and I just praise him.
Yeah, Ken, he is amazing, and he does what we can't do. I've never suffered from heavy or serious depression, but I understand from those who do that you just can't see your way out. And when someone tells you all the reasons to have hope, or you can't see your way out. But I want to encourage you to continue to renew your mind with the Word, Ken, to continue to be in fellowship with other brothers and sisters. And if the enemy ever lies to you and you just kind of get hit and thrown, just cast that right off. Cast that right off and keep moving forward. That's the mercy of God. Thanks so much for sharing that. Just been took a few calls, just worked out like that from the greater Atlanta area. So another reminder, if you're listening to me on WNIV in Atlanta or listening online in the greater Atlanta area this weekend, Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday morning, then a special leaders-only meeting Saturday morning. It's August 2nd through 4th. I'll be at Northgate Church of Atlanta. This is in Woodstock, Georgia. And we're going to be talking about what to do with 166 hours of the week where you're not in church service, how to live this out, what needs to change in us so that we can go and be world changers. So again, to find out more about this, just go to my website, askdrbrown.org. And when you look on the menu, you'll see about, just click on itinerary there and you can get all the details. And please, if you're one of my listeners, one of my Line of Fire listeners in Greater Atlanta, when you do come to the meeting, try to introduce yourself to me before or after. I'd love to meet you. We'll be right back with more encouraging testimonies.
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, there's that old song that says, "Can I get a witness? Can I get a witness?" I think sometimes that's the voice of God speaking to us as people saying, "Can I get a witness? Come on, do you have a testimony? Has the Lord changed your life? Has the Lord delivered you from some addiction, from some life-controlling substance, from something destructive in your life? Has he literally taken you from the door of death into his abundant life? Has he taken you from hopelessness into despair into a life of joy and freedom and celebration? Has he set you free from something that was going to destroy you?" You may not have the same testimony as me. Mine is from LSD to PhD, just put in a catchy way. You may not have been delivered from the same things I've been delivered from, but many of you, you've been set free. You were suicidal. You were in a cult. You were in a false religion. You were so lost that everyone gave up hope on you, and Jesus saved you and changed you. You have a testimony. Share it. Don't be ashamed of the power of the gospel. Sometimes we don't want to know, we don't want people to know who we used to be. It's fine. As long as you're not that person anymore, and it's the kind of thing that can be shared, you ought to share what the Lord has done. Glorify him. You say, "I don't know, I'm not really strong in the Bible. I don't know the Bible that well." Well, keep studying, keep growing, keep learning. But if you have a testimony, you can share it. And often that's the very thing that will put hope into somebody's life. God's saying to you, "Can I get a witness?" Oh, and don't just live in the past. How about a witness of what God did in your life today? How about a witness of what God's done in your life the last 6 months, the last year? If all you have is an old testimony, you need to get freshly plugged in to a healthy relationship with the living God. But share the good works of the Lord. Share the good news of the gospel. Share the power and reality of who this living Lord is, who changes people in lasting, radical ways. And perhaps that person you're talking to or that family member you live with that seems so hopeless and so out of touch with reality and so far from God, perhaps 6 months from now, we'll be hearing their amazing testimony. Can I get a witness? All right, I want to get a few more witnesses. 866-348-7884. Let's go to Joe in Salt Lake City, Utah. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yeah, thank you, Mike Brown. Dr. Brown, I'm happy to share my testimony with my brethren on your show, and maybe somebody has been through the same things that I went through. I actually came to the Lord in the hippie revival movement back in the early 70s, and I feel like I really came to the Lord and lived quite a while with a good Christian life. And then I began to struggle with these episodes of backsliding and doing drugs and just horrible. It was just a horrible experience that and it was a cycle that just kept going and going and going.
Let me just ask you this real quick, because time is short. Joe, how is it that you knew the Lord and then you fell back into drug addiction and backsliding? Did it happen overnight, or was there a process?
It was like this little process. It would take a long time to explain all of it, I think. But it was like a cycle. Every three years or so, I would just kind of go into this thing, and I don't know where it came from, but I'm sure I'm delivered from it now. But what happened was, it was about 8 years ago, I actually had to go on a methadone treatment to get off of heroin.
Mm-hmm.
And I was seeking the Lord for help to just, you know, once.
Yeah, Joe, I hate to rush you, but I'm real short on time, and I'm going to run out of time before I hear the end of the story. So sorry, we got to just bottom line. What ended up happening? How did the Lord get you free?
Okay, so I was looking at the internet, and I heard this about something about Art Katz, and I looked up his ministry, and I listened to a couple of his sermons about the cross of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to the Lord in prayer about the cross of Christ, and I asked him to take me back to a time where I would just understand the cross, just go over it again and get back into it. I basically started over, and I met the Lord at the cross, and I can tell you that I know that I know the Lord now. I know that.
Praise God. Yeah, Joe, I just got to jump in. I'm so sorry. I'm out of time. But isn't that amazing? Art Katz preached a very intense, penetrating, no-frills message. Isn't it amazing that with all the back and forth, all the years, and even a methadone program to get off heroin, that it was going back to the fundamental message of the cross that brought freedom and transformation in Joe's life. Joe, I wish I had more time to hear more, but thank you for sharing that. Trey and Raleigh, I'm not going to be able to get your call. There are others we weren't able to get to, but delivered from depression and suicide. Could you call me another day, Trey? If you want to call in on a Friday, you've got questions, we've got answers. If you want to call me on a Friday, I'd love to hear your story as well, but thank God for his mercy in your life. Others I was looking at, folks weren't able to hold, and just amazing to see the life-changing power of the gospel. And remember, sin lies to you. Sin lies to you. I never thought I would do the things I was doing as a teenager. When I started getting high, I in a million years, started getting high at 14, I never would have believed I'd be shooting heroin at 15. There's no possible way I would have believed, yet it happened. And then I did other crazy things I never would have believed. No one could have convinced me I would have done it, but I did, because that's the deceitfulness of sin. Don't play games with it. Don't flirt with it. It only wants to destroy you. Do you have my book yet, Go and Sin No More? It's available for your gift of any size. It's 330 pages. The late Dr. Bill Bright called it, it humbles me to share it, say this, but he called it magnificent, one of those rare life-changing books. And with the book, we have an audio series, over 10 hours of teaching the key themes of the book on audio that you can listen to on your computer, on one CD on your computer or your MP3 player. Together, the retail value is well over $30, but yours for your gift of any size. So as we always ask, those who have more can help those who have less, and this way we can get these out to a lot of people. So take advantage of this, the book and the CD. No question about it, your life will be impacted and changed. But this is by phone only. Call right now, 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today, I'll share the words of Art Katz. God does not want the faith of man to be established on eloquence, but on the basis of the power of God.